Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only were able to achieve something because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we can't see it clearly, but the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. So He is the greatest. So there is no pride is permissible for Allah. He is better than everyone else. He is better. He does have all those exemplary qualities. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Inna Allah alimul khabir, Allah is praising Himself. Verily Allah is all knowing, fully aware. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing Himself, and that is praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising Himself, and that praise is due. That's not that praise is unfounded. So it's absolutely correct for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak like that about Himself. But when we talk like that, if we say, hey, I'm the greatest, we start thinking highly of ourselves, or we think of ourselves as better than someone else, that's not the true reality. That's not the true reality, because we can't achieve any of these things on our own, independently. It's like that son who's talking big about the car that he got, and the clothes that he's wearing, and the money that he got in his pocket. But meantime, the father is the one who provided him with all of these things. But now because he's carrying it, and he got the ability to use it, father gave him permission to use the car, or to stay in that house, or to spend that money. So now he talks highly, he speaks with a lot of pride, and you know, he thinks highly of himself. So what will we say about that child? We say, this child, what's wrong with him? That's not his money. Why is he talking like that? Not his money. That money came, father gave him that money. He's talking like he achieved all of these things on his own. So we are exactly that example of the child. That whatever we have achieved, we made a small effort. But this effort was subject to the ability that was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was no life from Allah, what can you do? There was no intelligence, no brain, what can you do? If you were born, as I say to my students so many times, that if you were born in Ethiopia or some far off land, where there's no school, no university, your job there, in spite of how intelligent you are, your job there is to just look for food. Because that's what you need to survive. Nobody will know. No book and all you can write, no big thesis and all that you can output, nothing you can achieve. It's whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose, that you're going to be born in this family, these are going to be the amenities that will be available to you. You'll be able to study here, be in a war-torn land with all the universities and everything are busted, blown up. There's no place, there's no hope of even. These are all these things, these are ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with. That's why we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Whether it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising Himself, or we praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we praise another creation, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising us, all these praises are due to Allah alone. Four praises, four types of praises. When we recite, in the khutbah, I recited this dua that we read when we are traveling. So when we're taking a journey, then we are taught to recite this dua, Alhamdulillah. Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. The gist of the dua is that we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a mode of transport that Allah ta'ala subjugated to us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every single dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a miracle. So in this, you'll find in every dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the activity that you are doing, that activity is taken to a higher level, and you are via the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reminded of something that is even far greater and far more important in your life than that ordinary task at that point. Today is not the day for that, but maybe on another day we can discuss a few du'as and show how Nabi Sassan's vision, when he was doing a mundane task, via his du'as we realized that he was looking at something far larger, far greater. He was thinking far ahead compared to the average person. So here Nabi Sassan is also showing us that first part of the du'a is, Ya Allah, We are grateful to you for subjugating this animal. All praise is due to you, whether it's an animal, whether it's a car also. Allah made this vehicle subservient to us. We tell the car where to go. Car goes where we want it to go, right? In the normal circumstance. And then afterwards, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then reminds us that verily all of us, this today we may be taking a journey from home to work or from home to the masjid. But all of us are part of a journey that we are returning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are on a bigger journey that is taking us to the akhirah. We're on a bigger journey. That today, yes, you got this small journey in front of you, you got your task for the day that you're planning to, you know, to carry out. But don't forget. You're part of a bigger journey. You slowly, maybe outwardly even look slowly, but you're hurtling towards the akhirah. Your life is melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. Your life is melting away. And you're on this journey, and you need to be cognizant of this journey. Don't think about what you're just going to achieve for the day. You know, be strategic. It's not about just fulfilling the tasks of today. How are the tasks of today fitting in your broader journey of life? Are you achieving your broader goals as a Muslim, as a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is what this dua is indicating us towards. Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi. Earlier today I visited one site, building site. So a lot of work was taking place there. It's a very expensive site. So Allah Ta'ala put this thought in my mind and I said I will share it here also. That Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, he said that do that much in the dunya for the amount of time that you're going to spend in this world. And do that much for the hereafter in accordance with the amount of time that you're going to spend in the hereafter. This is a very profound statement. A very profound statement. That if a person, if you look at how much of effort we put in our life, we each and every one of us, we mustn't look at anybody else. Most of the time when we mention something like this, and I'm talking to myself first, but the person or the individual, he thinks about someone in his family, or he thinks about his wife, or he thinks about his children, you know, or he thinks about his colleague, or somebody that he knows, hey, you know, this guy here, he needs this lesson. He needs to focus on this. But we mustn't look far, we must look at ourselves. That how much of my day, if I have to work out in my life, the percentage of my life that I am spending, what part of this life of mine am I using to prepare for the hereafter? And we all know that the time that the person will spend in the hereafter, it like eclipses the time that the person will spend in this world. It eclipses it. So what am I doing? How much of my life am I focused and making it such that it is of benefit to me in the hereafter? Nobody is saying, and our teacher used to say regularly, that nobody is saying that now, once you think about the hereafter, that now you must, you know, you must divorce yourself from your business, and now the person must, you know, go and live on a mountain somewhere, and you must. This is not what Islam wants. That's not what Islam wants. Islam wants every single activity of our life can be beneficial to us in the hereafter if it is done according to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in accordance with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It automatically becomes an ibadat. Let's take a simple thing like this. We were talking about this traveling. So if the person now, he gets in the vehicle, he's making sure that where he's traveling to. He's traveling to a place that is necessary for him to go to. It's halal for him to go to. When he uses this vehicle, he uses this vehicle like how a person uses the things of this world, but it does not live in this person's heart. The dunya is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Wealth, car, home. We need it. Person can't go to the masjid also if he's living far away. You're not going to use the car. One great person used to say, that one saintly person used to say that those people that say that that food and drink and all of these things is dunya, then if you don't eat and drink also you, and no, they used to say food and drink and all of these things are dunya, so you must kick the dunya. Must kick it. They have nothing to do with it. So he said, he used to say, if you don't eat food and drink too, you won't have strength in your body to kick it. you don't eat and drink, you won't have strength in your body to kick that dunya away. So that food and drink is not dunya. Your car, your home, where you are staying is not dunya. Dunya is that which takes you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the true understanding of dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a home, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate and drank. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, they showed us the way. So this person, if he's using this car, then it sails on the ocean. The boat needs the water to sail, but if the water comes inside the boat sinks. So the person, he needs this car to function, but the car needs to stay outside of his heart. He'll use it, he'll care for it, he'll appreciate it, but he won't give his heart to the car. He won't, for the sake of the car, disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He won't let that car become a source of pride for him. That because he sits in that car, and that car is an SUV, and it rides a little bit higher than others, then he behaves poorly in his driving manners. And he feels because of his car, he deserves certain type of respect when he goes somewhere. And he shows off with that car. He doesn't use that car to take him to the masjid. He uses that car to take him to the gambling den, to the vice den, to the prostitute quarters, to go towards the haram transaction. That's what he uses the car for. So then that car is dunya. But if that car is taking him to work, and he's going there to work with the niyat that, Ya Allah, I want to earn a halal livelihood to support my wife, to support my children. I don't want to extend my hand to anyone and ask somebody for a handout. Then this work of his to his ibadat, this work of his, as long as the work itself is not impermissible, that means he's not going to work and he's working in a bottle store and he's handing out alcohol. Or his work, he thinks is drugs. My work is drugs, so I'm going to the drug den and I'm going to get more people high. So that type of work in itself is not permissible. But he's going to do a work, whether it's accounting work, he's going to stand behind a shop counter, he's going to dig a road, he's going to fit an aircon, whatever he's going to do. But he's doing that work so that he can earn a halal livelihood. So he doesn't have to extend his hand before anyone. He can fulfill the rights of his parents, his wife, his children. Then that work itself is ibadat if he does it with the right intention. Allah will reward him. My teacher used to say, even if he stands on the side of the road and he's selling fruit, and he's saying peaches, peaches, peaches all the time. And outwardly he's saying peaches, but in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, that peaches is like zikrullah. It's like him remembering Allah, because that reason why he's saying it is solely to earn a halal livelihood, to fulfill the needs of his wife and his children and his family, and for his own self. Even to fulfill your own needs, so that you don't have to ask anybody, so that you can maintain respect, maintain dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to be beggars. Allah ta'ala wants respect for us. So, if this person, coming back to that example, the person is using the car, and he recites the dua before going in this vehicle, he is not letting this vehicle be in his heart. It does not change who he is. He uses the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala that Allah has provided. Even if the person is a billionaire and he drives a Rolls Royce because that's what he has, Allah Ta'ala has given him that money to buy it. He's buying it. He's using it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. He offers people a lift. He takes people in his vehicle. He uses it for the service of deen. Goes to the masjid with it. Whatever it may be. Then that usage of the vehicle, him traveling with it, all of this will be ibadat if he's doing something that is correct. He's doing something that is correct. He's doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with the sunnah. He's trying to achieve an objective that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Muslims, we need to keep connected in all our actions with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The respect of the Muslims, the success of the Muslims is linked to this. We were walking one day, with Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi in a park. And it was the early part of the morning. So maybe from the winds of the previous day, there was a very big tree that had some purple flowers on it. And those purple flowers had become disconnected from the tree, probably to the winds, and it formed like a carpet on the ground. And the pathway was there, so as Maulana had said that day, that he felt it hard to walk on those beautiful flowers, as if he was crushing the flowers. But we had to walk on the flowers, that was the pathway. Now after he had walked a little bit of a distance, so he said that we must take lesson from everything that we see around us. So then he posed a little question and a few thoughts. That, see, when these flowers were connected to the tree, then they were receiving nourishment from the tree. They were getting food via from the soil coming up through the roots, etc., through the branches, into the different flowers. While these flowers were connected to the tree, that they were blooming. They were getting food, they were getting nutrition, and when people walked by them, they took benefit from them. It created, they were pleasant to the sight, and they offered a fragrance. This fragrance sometimes intoxicates people. People enjoy the fragrance of the flowers. And then this wind came and it disconnected these flowers from the tree. And then they fell on the floor, and some that had fallen the day before, they were losing their color, so they weren't so appealing to the sight anymore. And now they don't have that same type of fragrance. And at times, people will walk over them, because they're no more high and safe. They are being now trampled on by the people that are walking by. So he said, let's take a lesson from this. That when the believer is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's connected to deen, then he is receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spiritual benefits. He's got the nusrat and help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's being energized by his good deeds. So then he looks beautiful because he's connected to the tree. He's high, he's safe. He's high, he's safe. He looks beautiful. People look at him, they get impressed by his akhlaq. They say, look at this person, look at his honesty. Just recently I read, somebody wrote on a group that one Muslim lady in a foreign country somewhere, she was hit or beaten up by one person in a racial attack. And when the sentence was being handed out, the lady stood up and she said she forgave the person who hit her. And everyone, they spoke about the fact that she quoted her religion. And she said, Islam teaches me that even my oppressor I must forgive. Like how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave those people when he entered in Fateh Makkah, when he came into Makkah Sharif. So just like that, the person will look at this flower and how he appreciates the beauty, that Muslim who is connected to Allah, people will look at his akhlaq and say, how beautiful akhlaq, character this person has got. Look at the fragrance. When I spend time in this person's company, I feel like rejuvenated. He motivates me towards good. He's a source of benefit to me. But then sometimes what happens to us is that the wind of sins, the winds of nafs and shaitan, they blow us and they disconnect us from this Islam. They disconnect us from Iman. They disconnect us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then what happens is that we start to wither. That same beauty that would have been associated with the follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can't find that beauty in him. And then he loses that fragrance. When people interact with him because he's committing certain sins, they say, how this person inconvenienced me. Look at how this person took me for a ride. Look at how this person, he spoke badly about me, backbited about me. He said things that hurt my feelings. His akhlaq is gone. He becomes a source of concern and pain to people. And then people in the world, because now we have lost our high position, then like those flowers that are on the ground and people are just trampling over them. So then the Muslims are also, sometimes the condition is pitiful, that people are steamrolling them everywhere. So this is something for us to think about. That way, how, where were we, and where we have fallen, and how can we reconnect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this Mubarak deen. Allah ta'ala grant me tawfiq first, and grant one and all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.